About our vision today is how to be a church that attracts. So we're going to be talking about that, and I get some helpers here. Let's tell them to hold on to that, and I call them up. Hold on to that. Hold on. I know y'all wasn't prepared for that, but just hold on a minute. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, look how the Lord put that out. All right. Hold on to that. I'll be using you. So y'all just hold on to that to the end of the service. I'll let you know what to do with that in a minute. But we're going to be talking about how to be a church that attracts. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 41 through 47, and we're going to talk about again as part of our vision is attracting the unchurched to Christ and His church. And you'll be seeing the next three messages I'll be bringing and presenting. We'll be dealing with our vision, and then we'll talk about our mission, objective, and purpose. And then Brother Robert will help me on a message with that. Brother Leroy helped me with a message. Jamer and myself, we'll all be tag teaming some of these things. But put it out there, folks, so that it's on the internet and stuff, and I'll be handing out some stuff too. And talking about our vision, our purpose, our objective, and our mission that God has for us in store here. So Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, how to be a church that attracts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you that, Father, you've laid it up on our hearts, and many people have asked about our vision and our mission, our purpose, our objection. And God, we just felt led, that Lord, that starting off the beginning of the year, the first Sunday of the new year, 2013, Lord, that we could tie these messages in. And Father, talk about what it is that you have in store for us to do, God, and about our vision, our purpose, and how to be a church that attracts the Lord. Lord, and Father, how we can be excited about what you're doing in the midst of us, the Lord, and things that we can learn through this process. God, I pray that as we open up your word, and Father, that you would bless the reading of your word, that you will bless the anointing of your word, the Lord, as it is read, that it would go forward, that it accomplish your will and way, the Lord, that Father, it would change our hearts, change our minds, change who we are as individuals, the Lord, for the better for you. God, may we be revived, refreshed, and renewed, the Lord, when we leave here today. May we not be the same. God, I pray, the Lord, that you bind Satan up and keep him at bay, the Lord. Keep him away from here, Father, in opposition. And Father, ever let there be a freedom to worship here, freedom to joy, a freedom to laugh, a freedom, Father, that, Lord, with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost has just have free will to move in our lives, the Lord. And God, we just thank you for that. God, we give the service to you. We pray your blessings upon it, the Lord. May your word go forward today and accomplish that is pleasing to you. God, may you be honored. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and following says this. Says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders were done by the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When I thought about that, I think about there's several things in these passages of scripture right here that we read about how to be a church that attracts. Number one thing that stands out to me in this is churches nowadays have gotten away from the word of God. They've strayed away from teaching and reading and preaching what God's word says. Number one, we've got to get back to the basics, the basic and foundations of God's word. Preaching God's word, teaching God's word, and learning God's word is one of the ways that we're going to be a church that attracts. So number one, if you're taking notes, number one is how do we become a church that attracts? By teaching and learning God's word. Look back at verse 42 again. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking bread and in prayers. And we're going to touch upon that several times. But the apostles here, they devoted themselves to teaching and learning the scripture. You and I, my friends, if we're going to be the church that God desires to be, we've got to get in God's word. I want to encourage you to get in God's word, to read God's word and study God's word and apply it and teach and learn what God has in store for us to do. We can become all that God wants us to do. God's got the blueprint laid out for us. We just have to dive in it and read it and dissect it and see what he has in store for us. And so when I thought about that, I thought about just what we did earlier. I thought about what he said in Matthew 28:19-20 also. Jesus told his disciples, go ye therefore and what? Teach. All right? When you look back at verse 42, it says, and they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. So they kept teaching the apostles' doctrine. Here in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, Jesus told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 starts out with what? Are y'all with me today? Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Are y'all awake? Are y'all alive? Is your heart beating today? Or are you with me? Why is it every Sunday I got to stop and do this? Huh? You are in God's house. We are God's children. God has saved us. We have breath and life in us. We are living. We are to be excited about being in God's house. At least I got one in the house that's excited about being in God's house. Amen. We are children of God. We come here to praise and worship the Lord and exalt the Savior and love one another and exalt the Lord and exalt one another and be happy and be glad and rejoice in it, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. Come on, folks. One of the ways they learned by was teaching and learning and exalting one another and lifting God up on high. It said in that verse 20, they were doing what? Thank you, Lord, you're with me. They were teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Luke 24:27 says this, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he what? Expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Here at Crossroad, we are blessed with teachers, my friends. We are blessed with those that learn God's word, those that study God's word, those that apply God's word. I want to encourage you, if you're not in Sunday school, come check it out. We got some amazing teachers, from the youngest to the oldest, that are learning, that are in God's word, that are reading it, that are studying it. Oh, there's great things happening here, from the youngest to the oldest. Several qualified teachers that share the truth and love with us. We have teachers who teach God's word with respect and with integrity. And my friends, it's so that you and I can learn and learn from that and learn from one another. Learn what God's word is telling us. And teaching is such an important part of the growing and attractive church. That's what it said in verse 42. And they continued. It said they didn't halt. They didn't stop. They what? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine, in the word. And I want to encourage you, as a church of God, as a church of Jesus Christ and what he has called us to do, we've got to ever be learning God's word, ever be teaching God's word, ever applying it, ever to become all that God wants us to do. And through that part, as we've seen in the book of Acts chapter 2, the church that was growing, it was a church that had designed and developed teachers and disciples and apostles that grew them up, that taught God's word, that were explaining God's word, and folks were learning God's word. And then they took out and they shared God's word, and then God began to add to the church daily. I want to encourage you, as a growing church, we need folks, we need your help to teach God's word, to learn God's word, to share God's word. We got amazing teachers, but we can always use room for more. And that's how the growing church was. They had teachers but they trained up more. They discipled more. More began to learn God's word. And then they sent out and added to the church daily. And the church began to grow. And they began to be in a church that attracted many to come. My friends, that's the same. If you preach God's word, my grandpa says, stick to the basics. Stick to the basics. Preach God's word. Teach God's word. They'll come. Why? Because people are hungry to learn God's word. People are eager to learn God's word. People want to know the truth of God's word. There's enough counterfeits out there. My friends, we need to be steadfast as the apostles were, steadfast in the doctrine, in preaching God's word. And thank God we do that here. Thank God for teachers and leaders all the way, as I said, from the youngest to the oldest, that are in God's word, teaching God's word, learning it, practicing it. Thank you as a church that are applying it, reading it, learning it, teaching it. That's part of a growing church and what he'll want us to do. So how to be a church that attracts? Number one is by teaching and learning God's word, as they did in the early church, where the apostles were steadfast. Steadfast in the doctrine. My friends, we don't need to stray away from the doctrine. It is the doctrine. It is the gospel that changes lives. It's the gospel that changed your life, changed my life, changed the dynamics of the church. It is the gospel, my friends, that we delivered that changes and transforms lives in your life and my life. And we got to stick to what the word of God says. Stick to the apostles, as they said in verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not only that, but number two, we see here in the fellowship of the early church that there was fellowship. They had love, they had care, and they had encouragement. And we see that also in verse 42, that when you look back there and you'll see with me, it said in verse 42, not only did they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, in prayers. My friends, there is a social dynamic of fellowship. Positive interaction with others, especially believers, can help us emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, Lord, when we come together and we feed off one another, we build off one another. People feel that when they come in here. They feel the love of God and sharing that love, making people feel welcome. We have fellowship with one another, building off spiritually, emotionally, mentally. My friends, it does you good when you can come together with a body of believers and celebrate what God is doing. We are created as social beings. We are created as social beings, needing somebody to talk to, socialize with, and need to show that we care about others, my friends. And spiritual dynamics of fellowship, the interaction with other believers, help us keep our eyes and focus on Jesus. When we interact with one another and we interact with other believers, it helps keep our focus on the Lord, help keep our eyes and attention on Him. As we focus on Jesus, it's our job as believers to help other believers and keep them encouraged that it's all about Jesus. God has designed church life. You see, all the time you go to different cities in Green Cove, they call it the cove life. You go over to the beach and they call it the salt life. You go anywhere and they got something life, my friend. But for you and me, it's church life. It's a way of life for us to be excited with one another, to be encouraged by one another, to come together and unite as believers with one another, to build relationships with one another. It has both a direct and indirect effect on us as growing spiritually as believers. How well we build relationships with one another will both have a direct bearing on the growth of the church. Not only is this true in church, but it's true in our own lives as well. It's true in our lives as well. In scripture it says, if you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. You got to be open. You got to greet one another. You got to get out of the comfort zone and go to somebody that maybe you don't know and say, hey, I want to introduce myself. I'm such and such, and you are. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate you. This is an amazing church. We have an amazing family here. And come together and get to meeting and greeting one another and building those relationships. That's what they did in the early church. They came and they met and they greeted one another. They built relationships. Not only is that true in the church, as I said, but it's true in our life. Here in Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. When Christians came together, they broke bread. A lot of people say Baptists like to eat. They like to fellowship. Amen. They like to come together and unite together and eat and fellowship with one another. And believe me, it works because I've outgrown all my suits and God had to get some more. You know, but eating and fellowshipping with one another. What does that do? It builds relationships. It makes people feel welcome. You get to know one another on a different level. That's the same way with Sunday school. And, you know, it's a small group setting. You get to come together, meet individuals, grow a relationship with one another. That's what the early church did in the book of Acts. They came together. They built relationships. They had fellowship with one another. And they issued themselves friendly and breaking of bread. And when they did that, their focus was an open upward focus. A lot of times when they met together, it was to have the Lord's Supper and communion. And by doing that, not only were they meeting people's emotional and social part of their life, but they were also had their attention focused upward to Jesus, because they were breaking bread in remembrance of what God has done for them. It works, my friends, in so many different dynamics and so many different ways in church, my friends, that we can build and be the church like the early church was, socially and spiritually. So we see that it is important for fellowship. Not only that, but we see in verse 42 that there was prayer and worship, and there was prayer going on. It said in verse 42 again, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in what? And in prayers. They had prayers going on. Prayer is important, my friend. And verse 46 says they met together daily in the temple courts. In verse 46 it said, and they continued daily with one accord where? In the temple. And what? Breaking bread from where? From house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So we see that they carried this out, that it was something that they continued to do in prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And my friends, listen to me. A praying church is a powerful church. A praying church will put Satan on the run every time and defeat him and keep him gone. That's the reason I say all the time, we got to be prayed up and studied up and in tune with God, because I'm telling you, the devil's looking for a crack to get in to disrupt the bride of Christ in every opportunity he has. But I want to encourage you to be prayed up, be studied up, be encouraged by the early church in the book of Acts. They worshiped together. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They fellowshiped together. They came together as a body of Christ and believers, and they prayed and they expected. They had expectancy that God was going to do something miraculous every time that they met together. They had an expectancy. My friend, every time I come here, I'm expecting great and mighty things from God. I'm expecting God to do something big and mighty. My friends, we got to live a life and have that expectancy, expecting God's going to show up, expecting God's going to do something big. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And we need to exercise the he that is in us and be encouraged to live a life of expectancy. And that's what the early church did. The early church prayed together. The early church sang together. The early church broke bread together. Fellowship together, and they had Jesus as their focus point. And my friends, we do the same thing, and we need to continue to do that. Pray together, break bread together, fellowship, sing and worship together, and offer up prayers to the Lord. And my friend, just as God added to the early church, you will see him added to this church, which he's been doing on a regular basis. Oh, they came together, and these things happened in Acts 1:14. In Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued with what? One accord in what? Prayer and supplication. And it means that they came together, they prayed together for God's will to be done in their lives. Prayer was an essential part of a growing and attractive church. Not only that, but there was a sense of awe. There were miracles. There were healings. There were things being done to honor God. In verse 43, it said, and fear came upon every soul. And what? Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There was that fear that came up. There was a sense of awe that came up. And I pray we never lose our sense of awe when it comes to Jesus. That we are ever be in awe of his majesty, of his power, and of his presence. There was an awe that they had. And they never lost that awe in what Jesus was doing. And his power was flowing through the church. His power was flowing through the believers. They lived in a life of expectancy. And by doing doing that. They were a church that attracted people, and many signs and wonders and miracles were being done because they were in tune with God, and God was in tune with them, and great and mighty things were happening. Not only that, but they were a church that was sharing the sufficient resources for all. In verse 45, it said, "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Generosity and hospitality were common denominators among the early church. I thank God for this church. That is a giving church, my friends, giving to the Lord and giving and supplying. If this church knows there's a need of an individual, you have stepped up to the plate time and time and time and time again to meet that need of an individual within the body of Christ or those that might be in the community. I thank God for a church that gives like you give, because if it wasn't for your giving, the church wouldn't be here, the lights wouldn't be on, the doors wouldn't be open, things would be shut down because of the mortgage and everything else here. But thank God for your giving. Thank God for you trusting in the Lord that when you give, He's going to give to you. He's going to provide for you. And we've seen it time and time again. Thank God for the generosity of giving, just as in this early church, they parted their goods that all men had and every man had need of, and God supplied that. And my friends, I want you to be encouraged that God knows what we have need of, and He's going to supply it. The language of our text shows us how closely these early believers lived out their faith. Look at verse 44. It said, "And all that what? Believed were together, and they had all things common." And my friend, the early believers were all doing spirit-filled, being spirit-led. They were learning more about the Savior. They were listening to Bible teaching. They were studying God's Word. They were having fellowship with other believers because Jesus had commanded them to love one another. They were praying and worshiping on a daily basis. It was what Jesus had taught them to do. They were living in a sense and awe, expecting God to do miracles among them, knowing that God wanted them to live in a life of miraculous things that were going on in them, an abundant life. They shared their resources because Jesus taught them to be generous. It is more blessed to give than receive. So how do we apply these things to our lives and the lives of the church? Folks, as long as we do these things in our life and follow the simple principles of what God's Word said in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine." We've got to teach the Word, preach the Word, and be learning the Word and doctrine, and then in fellowship. Fellowship does us good with socializing and social events to come together to eat with one another and breaking of the bread and remembering God's commandments and His covenant that He has with us. And don't forget that it comes about through a church that's on her knees and prayer. And then when you do those things and God's church begins to feel and go in those directions, you will see, as we have done, many wonders and signs and miracles that were done. And folks believed and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men that had a need. Oh, listen to me when I see these things and I read it, I see what God is doing here and how God is blessed. In verse 46, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Oh, listen, this is what God expects for us to do, coming together and meet and doing these things. Not only that, but the last thing we see in verse 47 was that they had favor. It said praising God and having what? Favor with all people. And the Lord what? Added to the church daily such as should be saved. People were drawn to these believers because of what Christ was doing in and through them. People were drawn to them. They were also being relevant to the people of their culture. They were being real. They were being relevant to the people there. It's just as if they had been out of touch with the daily life in Jerusalem, they would have never found favor with the people. But the work of God, what God does is a genuine work of grace. What God does is a genuine work of grace. He changes and transforms your life and my life and my friends, and that's what keeps it real. Let's be real to the people in the community. Let's be real to our friends and our family. My friends, let's be real to folks that God can see. And when we do that, favor comes about by being a blessing to those that are around us. Favor comes about by being a good neighbor. favor, having favor will attract others of those in the community to come check us out. Are we making the community a better place to live? Are we making our neighborhoods a better place to live? Are we making our workplaces a better place to work at? Are we doing these in our lives? I encourage you to do so. And I'm telling you, your job where you work might be a misery, but you can change it. I want to encourage you. You can bring the love in there. You can bring happiness in there. You can bring that stuff to there, and you have an impact upon your employment and where your work is. You can have an impact in your neighborhood on your neighbors. You can have an impact in the Bride of Christ and in church. It's how you present yourself, how you pose yourself, how you love one another, encourage one another, exalt the Savior, build up the Bride of Christ. We can do that. We have the blueprint. It's called what the early church did in Acts chapter 2. And I want to encourage you, we have that same thing. That is our vision, how to be a church that attracts. And I believe that if we do these things and we follow these things in Acts chapter 2 in the early church, my friend, we will continue to be the church that attracts. We will continue to be the church that loves, continue to be the church that preaches God's word, that builds up one another. We will continue to do those things and be authentic with what God wants us to do. Not only that, but we seen there was a divine increase. The Lord added to them daily as such should be saved. I looked at that and I said, the Lord added. And I said, could have found anything else to say, but it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's God's doing. I said it a lot of times. Our focus should be on Him. Our focus on the things above. It's about Jesus, and anything that happens or goes on here should revolve around what is God doing in our life. Should be all brought back to God and asking Him, pour out His favor upon us. Oh, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. It's God. Let me encourage you, folks. Keep being faithful in obeying what God asks you to do. Don't give up sharing your faith. Some of you might be sharing your faith for months and months on end with an individual. Don't give up on sharing on your faith. Don't give up. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, listen to me. When we want to cooperate with one another and follow God's plan for the church, it is amazing. When we want to learn more about the Lord, when we want to fellowship together, when we want to spend time each and every day in prayer and studying God's word and worshiping Him, when we keep a sense of awe for God's mighty power, believing that His power, He has the power to heal people, He has the power to transform lives, when we want to share our lives and resources with one another, we realize that everything we have belongs to Jesus, and He helps us to understand that. And all the early church realized that everything that they had, everything they were, they belonged to Jesus. You know, when I was thinking about the early church and thinking about things, and the staff and us were talking and things of that nature, and thinking about the early church and how to be a church that attracts, you know me, I'm just a country boy. I've got to use the simplicity of things to talk about the Lord and how to be a church that attracts. And any time, folks, that you and I go fishing and things of that nature, you have a tackle box full, and I'm not going to open it. You have a tackle box full of lures. It doesn't matter if you're going bass fishing, my friends. You will have a ton of things in there that you can change out. We got a ton of bass fishermen in here. You can change out those lures. You can change out those plugs. You can put on different things to try to entice a bass or fish that you're going for to touch this bait and to catch this bait. What are you fishing for? Brim. You might have crickets, and you might have something that looks like a cricket or a mini jig or something in there that you're going to use to try to attract people to church. My friends, we got a lot of resources in God's word that we can use to attract the unchurched to Christ and His church. Are we using those resources that God gives us? I want to encourage you to, my friends, just as we put these baits on and we're going fishing and we drop this bait into the lap of individual, into the lap of fishing, and we drop that bait in there, and we're waiting. All of a sudden, what's it doing? All of a sudden, we're waiting on that bait. He hit it one or two times, but he didn't like it. So I'm fishing with it again. Then he hits it. Boom. We got it. You know, and we catch it. And then, what does it say the early church was about? What about learning? Early church was about learning. Learning. Garrett, come up here. I need you for a minute. Early church was about learning. Learning what God was doing. Snagging and catching Folks, we need to ever be learning. Grab that fishing stringer up there. We were a church that's ever learning, a people that's ever learning. We're never going to learn it all. We're never going to know it all. But just as the early church did, they continued what? Steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine and teaching. Oh, my friends, once it takes the bait and you get it, and that barb and that hook lands on that bait or lands on that fish, a species you're trying to get, it doesn't come out until you take it out. Doesn't come out until you take it out. Then you take and you transfer that to a stringer. You put that on that stringer, and then you take that stringer tip and you loop it back through the hole and you cinch it down. My friends, it's there. It's not going nowhere. You go and you're fishing again, you throw that lure out and you throw that fish out and you're baiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and he's biting it a little bit. He's fooling around with it and all of a sudden he bites it. That drag rips off. You start pulling it and then you cinch in and you get again. In the first verse it says, they were what? Teaching. Matthew 28 in the first part said he what? Taught them. He teach them. When that barb gets in there and it hooks and Jesus transforms your life and you become what Jesus wants you to do, you become not only a learner of his word, but you become a teacher. And you apply that and you put that on the stringer of your life. And once it's on that stringer, he's got you caught and it's not going nowhere. You become a teacher. You become a learner. Then you bait it up again. You throw it in the water again. And you're fishing and fishing around. And all of a sudden you get that bite and he pulls your pole down. Then you get it up. Oh, fellowship. I thank God for this church. The early church says they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and praying and fellowshipping, going from house to house in fellowship. Once that barb gets into you and you see the pleasure and you see the happiness of fellowshipping and breaking bread, oh, it's hooked you, man. You're paying a few pounds if you're a preacher. Oh, fellowshipping. Then you take that fellowship and you put it on that stringer and you continue to fish and you continue to go. You continue to be blessed of the God. You continue to go and apply it and try to fish it and you've thrown that bait out there and that bait lands up in the lap of an individual, because you and I are supposed to be what? Fishers of men. Lands in that individual, takes a bite on there, pull it in and reel it up. That barb's hooked on there. Will it come off there if that barb's in there? Pull down on it. Barb's in there. You hooked. You can't go nowhere. A church that cares. Caring. A church that cares. One another that cares. One another that loves one another. And when the barb of Jesus gets into your life, he'll change your life and you'll get that part that loves to care. I didn't have this plan, but you're going to see what comes up and what Jamer has. Here it is. Put the bait in there. The bait's pulling, man. He's got it. It's going, I got me a big fish right here. Amen. Hooks it up. And I promise you, I had nothing to do with the order of this. And you push it up and you catch it. And it comes and says, a life of worship. Jamer is the worship leader. And I had no clue that it was going to land in his lap. But a life of worship, worshiping the Lord, a life of praising him, my friends. And when that barb gets into you and that hook catches you, you'll want to serve the Lord and you want to worship him. And my friend, when doing that and it gets on that stringer and you cinch it down, it's not going nowhere. Then you start fishing, you land it into another hole. And you start fishing and working and seeing what God is doing. And takes the bait, and you're fishing with it, and he pulls it down. And my friends, when you start learning God's word, and you start teaching God's word, and you start caring for one another, loving for one another, God pours out his favor upon you. Pours out his favor upon you like he did in the early church. And then you take and you put that on the stringer. And you go fishing some more. And you come up, and you get in a bite. And he's working on the pole. And you set that hook, and he brings it up, my friends, and you have, as a Christian, in the early church, they encouraged one another. They had encouragement, and they encouraged one another. And when that barb gets a hold of your life, and that hook gets set, and Jesus sets that hook, my friend, you will want to be an encouragement to somebody. You'll want to be encouragement to somebody. And you go, and you set that line out, and you fish again. and that fish is sitting there and he's playing with the bait. And he takes that bait and pulls it down and you accept it. Oh, my friend, the early church was a praying church. They had prayer going on all the time. And my friend, if you want to see the dynamics of a church change, we want to be encouraged to be a people of prayer. Be a people of prayer. Be a people of prayer. Go fishing. Got that hook out there. You're setting that bait. My friends, and listen to me, there's nothing more than drawing a visual at the end of a service. Hopefully you will remember. Not only that, but my friends, they were a church that was a sharing church. They shared their finances. They shared their resources. They shared their burdens. They shared their troubles. They shared all that, my friend. And God blessed them and added to the church daily. You're going fishing, drop the line in the thing, pulling it down. I like that fish. He just tugged it and pulled my rod all the way down, you know, and biting it, and biting on there. You pull it up, my friends, and biting on it, and set the hook. You know, sometimes it might take 2 or 3 times to get it hooked. It might take a couple of times before you even. But the thing is you're fishing. The thing is you're fishing. Amen. Keep on trying. Keep on fishing. And my friends, when you get the love of God in your heart and that barb of Jesus sets that hook, you're going to have love like you've never experienced before. Amen. God wants us to be that part of love. Going fishing again. You know what? I'm racking up on fishing. I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. One on every catch, man. That's all right. I need to join the Bass Masters Classic Elite Series Fishing Tournament. You know, then you get to there, the early church, they were a giving church. A giving church. Follow me back over here. A giving church. You know, folks, when I thought about that, I thought about Jesus is fishing for a few good men and women today. I thought about Jesus is fishing for you and me. We have all kind of tackle, my friends. But the early church was an amazing church. They had a lot of love, giving, caring, and things of that nature going on. Amen. It filled up a stringer. And my friends, and it said as they began to catch fish and as that stringer began to get full, it said God added to their church daily. As such as should added, as such as should be saved. You know, when I thought about that, every one of you today is going to get a hook. Every one of you today is going to get a hook when you leave out the door. I have two of our youth stand out there with a hook. You know what? Because I want you to remember, the early church was hooked on Jesus. Early church wasn't hooked on one another. The early church didn't have focus on one another and things of that nature. They focused on Jesus. And because they focused on Jesus, Jesus sunk the barb into their heart. And when Jesus sunk that barb into their heart, and that barb gets into the fish, you can't get that barb out of that fish until you pull it out when that hook is sunk. My friends, when Jesus hooks your life and he sticks that barb in you, you can't get away. You can't get away. And when Jesus sticks that barb into your life, my friends, you'll live a life like the early church did. You'll have love. You'll have care. You'll have concern. You'll have compassion. You will be given. You'll be serving the Lord. You'll be exalting the Savior. You'll be lifting up brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get our eyes on Jesus and let him sink the barb into our heart, my friend, we will be the church, the early church, like was in the book of Acts chapter 2. And that barb is the Holy Spirit. That barb is Jesus himself sticking it into your heart, wanting to transform your life and change you and me as individuals. Will you let Jesus hook your life today? Will you let him sink the hook into you and let the barb get deep and, my friend, penetrate your heart? Jesus is looking for your heart today. He's looking for your heart. And if you will give him your heart today, you will give him your life. And you will live just accordingly to the New Testament church in the book of Acts. Will you open up your heart's life today? Will you give your life and heart to him today?